Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Vav. Tonu Rabbanan, Hare At Ishti, Hare at arusosi, hare at kenuyoli. If a man approaches a woman with marital intentions and he uses any of these expressions, you are my ishti, my wife, you are to be my wife, you are to be my arusosi, is also an expression similar to the word erusin, representing the first stage of marriage, or hare at kenuyoli, you are to be bonded with me. Oftentimes the word kinuyo means acquired. I am hereby acquiring or bonding with you. Mikudeshes. Those are acceptable expressions of marriage. Hare at shili. Additional expressions that are also effective. He says to her, Hare at shili, you are mine. Hare at birshusi, you are in my domain. Hare at zikuka li, you are associated with me. Mikudeshes. All of these expressions are, as we said, legitimate expressions of marriage, of course, in Hebrew. Question, Falisninu kulu kechada, why, if all six expressions that are found in this source, if they're all effective, why are they not taught as a straight list of six? Why is it broken down into two groups of three? The Gemara answers, Tana tlas tlas shaminhu vegarsinu. The Tana, the author of this source, when he received his tradition that these are effective, he had been taught them as two groups of three. So he learned them as such, and then and became fluent. Garcino means is developed his fluency in it that way, and that's how he then taught it over. He gained fluency and taught it over. That's what Garcino implies. Ibaya laho. You'll notice we have a triangle, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei slash Mivne heading. The Nosei is the topic heading, and Mivne the structural note. The triangle introduces Biur Lishonos Shemoimim Likidushin. We're going to investigate the effectiveness of different expressions as regards creating a marriage. Are they expressions that reflect the man's interest in marrying her, or maybe not? We now turn to the Gemara. Ibai Laho, Miuchedes Li Mahu. What if a man says to a woman that you are Miuchedes? Rashi explains many of these expressions, giving you scriptural sources for how they could relate to marriage. So Rashi on this, on the third line from the top, quotes the Pasuk in the story of creation, and it says regarding man and woman, Vahoyu lebosar echad. So miuchedes comes from the word echad, a unification of two, where the man and woman join together and they produce a new offspring. They produce a new single individual through their bonding with one another. So is that effective as an expression of marriage? Miuedes li mahu. What about that expression, miuedes? This expression appears in the Torah in the context of a man who buys an amo ivria, a Jewish bondmaid. And in the context of that purchase, the Torah provides for the purchaser, the owner, if you will, of marrying her, either the owner or his son. That marriage is called yi'ud. So what about in general using that expression as an expression of marriage, mu'edisli? Is that effective? Ezrosi mahu. This word, ezrosi, and the next word, negdosi mahu. Well, if a man says Hare at Ezrosi or Hare at Negdosi, what about that? And that too appears in the Torah, where in the story of creation it says Eselo Ezer. You see the word Ezer, Rashi features this on the first narrow line, and the word Ezrosi is an expansion of the word Ezer, and Kinegdo, the expression Negdosi in the Gemara. So from the Pasuk you see that the woman was created to be Ezer Kinegdo. So do these expressions reflect marriage? Continuing in the Gemara, Tsalosi Mahu. The word Tsalosi is from also from the Torah, where it says Vayiven Es Hatzela. The Tsela is the part of the body from which a woman was fashioned. So does the word Tsalosi have any marital connotation? Sigurasi. The word Sigurasi, Rashi again features the pasuk from the story of creation of woman, where it says Vayizgor Bosar. There was an operation that the Almighty conducted surgically on Adam, from which there was a slit and opening in his flesh, and he closed it up. Segurah, he closed it up. But again, it's a reflection of the creation of woman. Is that an expression of marriage when you say Hareat Segurah? The next word, Tachti Mahu. Lur tachti lur means under me. In other words, you're under my domain, under my control as a husband and wife. Tfusasi. What about the expression tfusasi? Is that an effective expression of marriage? Tafus is to hold upon, to grab something. Does that have marital connotation? Likuchasi, you are the one that I acquired. The pasuk says ki yikach ish isha. So in the pasuk that itself describes marriage uses the word yikach. So does saying to a woman hare at likuchasi, which is with the same root as the word yikach in the Torah, does that have a marital connotation? We had quite a long list now. Pshot miha chada. Let us at least conclude one of them. Disanya. The source reads Ha'omer l'kuchasi hare zu mekudeshes. By saying to a woman hare at l'kuchasi, that creates a marital bond. Of course, in all of these cases, the man is giving her money or one of the other means of acquisition, bia or shtar. But he employs these expressions in the course of those efforts. So this is effective. Lukuchasi mishum shenemar. The pasuk says ki yikach ish isha, which is a pasuk that is the pasuk describing a marriage. Ibaya laho. Now another section of Gemara that investigates expressions. Charufasi mahu. What about saying that to a woman? Hare at charufasi. Is that an effective expression? The Gemara now goes through several stages focusing on this expression. If you look in the on the side of the Gemara where a diamond appears, we've written Nisyonis Lanos Lashelo Charufasi Mahu Shie Loshon Kedushin. Is it effective as a Loshon Kedushin? Now the Gemara Toshma Desanya Ha'oimer Charufasi Mekudeshes. A man who says to a woman Hareat Charufasi, that creates marriage. She came to Yuda Kurin Larusa Harufa, because in the Yehuda region of Israel, the southern part of the land of Israel, instead of using the word Arusa, which is the common word for a woman reaching the first stage of marriage, they use the word Harufa. The Gemara asks, in all due respect to Yehuda, Yehuda Havya Ruba the Amadas, Yehuda, the Yehuda region represent the majority of the world. Just because over there they use this rather unusual expression, does that mean that if in the United States you say Hare at Charufasi, that's going to be effective? Hachi Kohmar. What the source means to say is as follows. Notice, we're going through stages of analysis. So here's the second stage. Ha'imer Charufasi Mekudeshes. One who says Hare at Charufasi, that creates marriage, Shenemar, V'hi Shivcha Nechrefes L'ish. without literally translating the pasuk, the pasuk reflects the idea of a woman that's bonded to a man in a, we'll say it, a form of marriage. And the ode Biyehuda Kurin Arusa Harufa. And furthermore, in the southern region of Israel, they referred to an Arusa by the term Harufa. The Gemara asks, Biyehuda, the Oid Lakra, do I need the practice of Yehuda to strengthen that which it already says in the Pasuk? The Pasuk stands on its own. V'hich shivcha nechrefes leish. Why does the Tana have to cite the practice in Yehuda? Ela hachikoma. Rather, what must be said is as follows. Ha'imer harufa b'Yehuda mekudeshes. If you are in the southern region of the land of Israel, and you use that expression, it will be effective. She came to you to occur in La Russo Harufa, because over there, that is the word they use for marriage. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a long question marking, and the Gemara will be asking, B'mai Askinan, referring to the expressions we saw before, and we asked concerning a number of expressions, are they effective or not? What are the surrounding circumstances beyond the mere uttering of those words, those expressions? Take note of the structural aspect of the Gemara. We have a double underline marking. Let your eye skim down, and you see a few of these on the side of nor under the Mivneh. These are Shlavim, Shel Biur HaShela B'mayaskina. These are stages. Again, we're going through a Gemara that presents stages and trying to figure out the answer to this question of B'may Askinan. The Gemara, in lema b'she'ein medaber imo al iske gita v'kidusheha. The word the vav of v'kidusha means or kiddushin. It's true. Above we spoke about words that would indicate marriage. Later in the Gemara, there's a discussion concerning terms. Do they reflect divorce? In other words, if you would write a variety of terms into a get, do they represent divorce? That will be picked up later. So in the meantime, we're asking, the man, when he meets the woman, and he says to her one of those expressions that are under our first triangle, in lema b'she'ein medaber imo al iske gita v'kidusha, if it's a case where he's not discussing with her matters of their marriage, Mino yoda my ko'omar law. How would she know what he is talking about? The Rashi across from here says, Mino yoda klomar afilu havu hanoch lishni loshen kidushin. Even if you were to say that these are expressions that do create marriage, he says to a woman, I'm just picking one of the many expressions of before we saw before, Hare at Ezrosi. Let's say that's an acceptable expression of marriage. How would she know that that's what his intention is? She wouldn't know what he's talking about, because those words could mean something else as well. In other words, they're not 100% clear words of marriage. So what are the circumstances? If he had not been discussing with her his thoughts of marrying her, how would she know what he's talking about? V'ela, so we continue in the Gemara. B'medaber imo al iske gita v'kidusha. You have a man that met a woman, and he started talking to her about they're getting married without using the formal expression Hare at, you are now unto me, this and that, any one of those above expressions, but he was talking about her with they're getting married. Well, if that's the case, then afagav de lo omar lo nami, even if he didn't use one of those expressions, she would be married. If they were talking about they're getting married, and then he gives her something, they're married, according to Reb Yossi. Disnan, in the following source you'll see this opinion. A man was speaking with a woman about either their upcoming divorce or marriage. And he gave her either a get or that which would generate marriage. When I say that, that would mean he would give her money, he might give her a document. The lo piresh, and he didn't say what he is giving it to her for. Once again, they're talking about they're getting married. And then he gives her, let's say he gives her money. The lo piresh, and doesn't explain why he is handing her that money. Rabbi Yossi Amar Dai, Rabbi Yossi says, that is enough. You don't need to spell out why you're giving her the money, when just up till that moment they were talking about they're getting married. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzorich Lefarish. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, says yes, he has to spell out why he is giving her that money. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel Aloch Rabbi Yossi, but yet you see we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Let's take a look at Rashi. V'elo b'medaber. Ma li ilo have loshen kedushin. If he was talking with her about their getting married, and then he would use one of those expressions above, even if it's not an expression of marriage, afilu lo omar lo midi nami, even if he had remained silent, elo shenosan lo, and simply had given her something of value, kaima lo dava kedushin grabiosi, we hold that it would have been an effective kedushin. The Gemara continues. Amri li'oilam b'medaber imo aliske gita v'gidishel. In fact, they were talking about their getting married. V'idi yohiv lo v'shosi kochinami. If they had been talking about their getting married and he had given her something in silence, in other words, as he was giving it to her, he didn't say anything, they would be married, like Rabbi Yossi. That it's so obvious that he's giving it her. They were just talking about their getting married. Hocha b'may askinon, the question above concerning all those different expressions and our inquiry right now of b'may askinon is the yohav law, the omar law v'hani lishni. They had been speaking about their getting married, and he spoke up using one of those expressions. And the following is what we are asking. Hani lishni l'kiddushi kamala. Do these expressions reflect marriage? Oidilma l'mlocha kamala. Or maybe when he says, for example, hare at ezrasi. The word ezrasi, word ezer, means help. I'm seeking you out as a maid in the house, as a worker, as a helper. Now, if that's what those words mean, then in effect, he is not interested in marrying her. They may have been talking about getting married, and then he uses one of these expressions, and he gives her something, so it might be that it's for malacha purpose. I'm hiring you to do some work for me, using any one of those expressions. Let's take a look at Rashi. Hochinami, Rashi says, de mekacha kerabiosi, if they had been talking about getting married, and then he gave her something, and as he gave it to her, he remained silent, so they would be married. Like Rabiosi said, Amrina mistoma l'shem kedushin, nosan v'kiblosim l'kach, it's most likely that he gave it to her for marriage purposes, and it's most likely that she accepted it on those grounds. Avol hashto de porish hanach lishni. But now, in the case of our Gemara's question, where he used one of those expressions, im loshen kedushin hein iskacha, if we can establish that they do represent expressions of marriage, so then he is giving her the thing using that expression. He in effect is marrying her. And if you'll ask, well, how would she know what he's talking about? The answer is because they had been speaking just up till that point about getting married. If, however, those expressions mean I'm hiring you to come do work by me. Haregilo bedaito sheinu chofetz lekatsha achshav. He's revealing to us that he's really not interested in marrying her right at this moment. True, they were talking about getting married. But if those expressions reflect hiring for work, so then he's in effect saying, I am not interested in getting married to you right now. I'm rather hiring you. Teiku. The issue remains unresolved. The expressions above then remain unclear. When we say the expressions above, those are the expressions that appeared following the first triangle. Gufa. And now we quote that which we saw above. And on the side of the Gemara, before we continue in the text, we have the following nosei, topic heading. Hoye medaber ito al iske gito v'kirushel. V'nosan lo gito v'kirushel. V'lo piresh lo. A man had been speaking with the woman, either about getting married or about their getting divorced. And then he gives her something and doesn't spell out. He doesn't say what he is giving it to her for. Gufa. Now, Gemara quotes, as we said, the source above. He was speaking with a woman about their getting divorced or their getting married. And he then gave either the document to her or her kiddushin, and he didn't explain what he was doing. Rabbi Yossi Amar Dayo. Rabbi Yossi says it's enough. He doesn't have to spell out what he's doing. They were just speaking about the topic. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Tzorach Lefarish. Rabbi Yudah says, you have to spell out what you're doing when you are presenting it to her, either the get or the kiddushin. Omar Rabbi Yudah Omer Shmuel, v'hu she'asukin ba'oisoi inyan. That which Rabbi Yossi said, dayo, means you don't have to spell out. It's enough that they, it's enough that they had been speaking about the topic. So Rabbi Shmuel says that which Rabbi Yossi says, the dayo, that it's enough without having to spell out, that's, if it's effective, the giving to her of the kiddushin, of the money, or the get, is that they were talking, but they were asukin ba'oisa inyan. Rashi says means they were involved with the matter until the point that he gave it to her. There was no gap in time. V'chein Omar Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shaya v'hu she'asukin ba'oisa inyan. The effectiveness that Rabbi Yossi spoke about, even though he's not meforesh, he didn't spell out that this money is for us to get married, or this document that I'm handing to you is our divorce. It's enough that they were speaking about the topic till the point that he gave it to her. And the Gemara now points out ketanoi, that this is a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Omer v'usha sukin bo'isa inyan. Rabbi reflects the opinion we just mentioned, and Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon Omer afal pi she'ein asukin bo'isa inyan. First, we translate. It says that the giving to the woman of the kiddushin or the get is effective even if they were not involved with that matter. The Gemara asks, "V'i lav dasukin boisa inyan meno yoda maiko omar lo?" If they weren't involved with that topic, the topic of marriage, and then he gave her money, how would she know what he's doing? Omar Abaye me'inyan le'inyan ba'oisa inyan. That which Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon said, even though they're not asukin ba'isim inyan, it's not as if they started talking about something totally unrelated. They continued talking about marriage-related matters, even though they weren't speaking about the actual bonding together in marriage. You might ask, well then, what do you mean by marriage-related matters? So the Rashi explains, me'inyan le'inyan, they had been speaking about actual marriage, their actual getting married. But then they stopped speaking about their actual getting married. Then they started about speaking about other things. However, the we'll say the alternative topics or the additional topics that they were conversing about concerned matters that are relevant to a couple. Kamo, kamo yesh loch nedunya, where the man might ask her, how much dowry are you bringing in, would you bring into our marriage? Or v'kama sodus yesh lochos parnes mem, where she might be asking him, how many fields do you have that will serve as support for us? Omar Rav Huna Omar Shmuel Halacha K'Rab Yossi. The Halacha follows Rab Yossi. We saw this ruling above that if they were speaking about getting married, actually getting married, and then the man hands her something of value and she takes it from him, we can assume that that was given with marriage intention and her acceptance was likewise. Amali Rav Yemar L'Ravashi. Rav Yemar asks Ravashi, V'elohol di'omar of Yudom or Shmuel, Kol she'eno yodea betiv gitin v'kidushin. Anyone who does not know the laws of divorce and marriage, lo yehe lo esek imohem, you should not allow them to serve as judges concerning matters of marriage and divorce. People who don't know the laws of marriage and divorce can end up being matir, allowing, permitting a woman that is otherwise, say, still married in the case of divorce, or who declare her not married to the first man and enable her to marry a second man when she really is married to the first man. All of that because of their non-expertise in the laws of marriage and divorce. So one should not allow them to serve as judges on these matters. Now the Rav Yemar asks that restriction that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel just taught, do not appoint judges if they're not familiar with the laws of marriage and divorce, afilu lo shmia le hode Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, would that disqualify someone who is not familiar with Rav Huna Omar Shmuel, i.e. his ruling that we follow Rav Yossi? And imagine someone is not aware of that. And we look at Rashi, who elaborates a bit on this question. Afilu lo shmile, Rashi says, ha, talocha k'rebi Yossi. Name on Ami de lo yasek miyom, are we saying such a person also would be disqualified? Klomar, mi shchicha ha, o lo shchicha, is to say, a common matter, a common situation, or maybe it's not common. She adam noisein get o kiddushin lisha ve'enu meforish. Maybe it's an uncommon thing for a person to give kiddushin or a divorce without spelling out what he is doing, exactly what he is doing. So, and if it would be something that's not common, a person's ignorance of some of a point like that would very well then most likely be reason not to disqualify him as serving as a judge on these matters. So the Gemara answers, Omale in, Hachi Nami. He says, in fact, yes, this too. If he's not familiar with Rav Huna Omar Shmuel's ruling, whereby he says we paskin like Rav Yossi, and a man is not familiar with that, he would not be qualified to serve as a judge in matters of Gittin and Kiddushin. Here we have a quote from that which we saw on Daf Hey Omid Beis. These are this is from Shmuel on Daf Hey Omid Beis. Rashi, by the way, points out a structural point on the bottom line, V'chein Begirishin Kamo Omar Mar. You find out throughout the Shas, the Shin Omar Mar is essentially we're now quoting from that which had been said earlier. The Chain Begirishin, hence our markings can once again, as we point out from time to time, very well be based on what you see in Rashi himself, that this is a throwback to that which had been taught earlier. Hence we have an arrow with Hey Omid Beis underneath it. So we quote from Hey Omid Beis, V'chein begerishin, Nosan logito v'amar lo harei at Meshulachas harei at Megureshes harei at Muteres l'chol Odom harei hi Megureshes. These expressions would be effective in establishing a divorce. The Gemara will continue, but before we do so, we glance at the side under the note, say the topic heading, Ezo Lishonos Mo'ilim Leget Isha Lishichur Evid. Which expressions are effective in a divorce? If a person were to write into the divorce document any of the following expressions, we want to know, is it effective or not? Likewise, regarding the freeing of a slave, are these effective expressions? So let's see the Gemara. Pshita nosan lo gita v'yomar lo l'ishto harei at bas chayrin. It's obvious that if a person would give a divorce to his wife and say to her this expression, harei at bas chayrin, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, lo omar v'lo klum. It's meaningless. Rashi at the top says, Lomar klum, lizgar shoyim kosov loshin zeh beget, shein zeh loshin gerishin. If he wrote this expression into a divorce document, it would not be effective. The translation, harei at baschorin, means you are hereby a free woman. Baschorin, from where cherus, freedom. That's not an appropriate expression for divorce. Omar lo lishivchoso, if he were to say to his bondmaid, Hare at muteris lechol adam, you're hereby allowed to any man. Now that's an expression that a person would use when he's divorcing his wife. That's what we call a lashon of gerushin, but it's not a lashon, it's not an expression of freeing of a slave. Rashi explains on the second line from the top, Hare at muteris. This is what the Gemara was talking about when he gives it to his bondmaid, says, you're muteris l'chol adam. That is a lashon gerushin hu, v'lo lashon shichur. It's an expression of divorce, but it's not a lashon of freeing a bondmaid. The shivcha. Let me read that again. V'lo lashon shichur de shivcha. It's not an expression of the freeing of a bondmaid. De I bas chorin mashve lo. If he is trying to make her into a free woman, then a free woman means she essentially becomes Jewish, full-fledged Jewess. So eino muteris lavodim. She's not allowed to marry at that point a slave. Aval loshon get hu liisha shematira lechol shehoisa sura lo al yodo. But in the case of a divorce, the expression arei muteris lechodom is effective, because what he's saying is you are now allowed to all those that up till now I had been the source of your prohibition. You were a married woman, you're married to me. So up till now I had restricted you from the people that I'm now allowing you. That is why harei muteris lechodom is an effective expression for divorce, but not an expression for freedom of a shivcha. The Gemara on the third line continues. Omar lo liishto. You have a diamond here, and a few lines later, another one on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh. We highlight two she'elos, two questions. One beisha, a wife. Two be'eved, a slave. Im mo'ilim leget v'shichra. Are these expressions effective? So we ask. Omar lo liishto. A man said to his wife, Hare at la'atzmeich. If we translate it, it means you are unto yourself. Mahu. Mi amrinon limlocha kamala. Is he saying to her that, well, now you are going to work for yourself. You keep your income. O dilma. Legamri kamala. Or you are unto yourself entirely, even to go and marry someone else. In other words, an expression of divorce. Omar le ravino le ravashi toshma desanya. Let's try to conclude it from the following. The expression of Hareat Latzmech. The source says, Gufo Shuket Shichur, the heart of a slave freedom document is where he writes Hare Ata Ben Chorin or Hare Ata Le'atzmecha. So we see that in freeing a slave, the expression Hare Ata Le'atzmecha, similar to the female version of Hare At La'atzmech, is effective in freeing a slave. And now the Gemara applies logic. Hashta Uma Eved Kenani Dekoni Le Gufei. Mind you, a heathen slave that a Jew owns, the Jew is said to own his body. That's a literal translation of the Gemara, but it's a very inclusive level of ownership. That's called kinyan haguf. Ki omar le hare atol le'atzmecha legamri komale. When the owner says to his slave, hare atol le'atzmecha, he is freeing him, he is releasing him from that very strong bond, that very strong level of possession. So Hare Atol Atzmo is a very significant and conclusive expression of separation. Isha Delo Konile Gufa. A man, sometimes you see the expression Kinyan, with the name of the parak is Isha Niknes. And if you've heard Gemara Markin Shum from the beginning, you've heard how many times we hesitate when we try to translate that word kinyan, and we use the term acquire or purchase. All of those expressions, when you speak in terms of a marriage, are really not, they don't convey the idea of what a kinyan is with, between man and wife. Here the Gemara says black and white. A woman in marriage, you don't own her body. So in our Gemara Marking Shurim, we've been using the expression kinyan in the context of marriage is create the bond of marriage, a marital bond. So here the Gemara points out that the husband-wife relationship or bond is not as inclusive as a man-servant bond. The man-servant bond represents the owner's ownership of the body, the essence of the slave himself. Not so in the case of a husband and his relationship with his wife. So if Hare Atol Atzmecha can release a very strong bond, so certainly, as the Gemara says, Isha de lo koni lo gufa lo kol shekein, certainly would be effective. It would be effective as an expression of divorce, and she would be free to then marry anyone she wants. Amarle Ravina Laravashi. Amarle Avdo, a man says to his slave, Ein li eseg boch, my. Again, we'll translate literally, is I have no dealings with you. What is that? What does that connote? Mi amrinon ein li eseg boch legamri komale? Does that mean that I have nothing to do with you entirely, even to the extent of I have nothing to do with you in terms of ownership? You are free. You're now mishuchar. You're free. And that would then mean he's a full-fledged Jew. And he could even marry a regular Jewess. Oh, Dilmore, maybe. When the owner says, Ein li esek boch, it means limolocha komalei. As far as work obligation, I have nothing further to do with you. But I'm not freeing you. You are still categorized as a slave. As far as work obligation, so I'm releasing you from having to work for me. Omar Le Rav Nachman Ravashi. By the way, note we have a long answer. Rav Nachman says Ravashi. Another version is Rav Chonin Mechoizah. The Ravashi, Rav Chonin from Choizah, says to Ravashi Toshma. Let's try to conclude the question from the following source: Hamocher Avdo Lioved Kichavim, one who sells his slave to an idol worshiper. A Jew who owns a slave should not sell his slaves to idol worshippers. A slave, technically speaking, is obligated in many mitzvahs as a Jew is obligated. By selling him to an idol worshipper, you're thereby voiding discontinuing his chances of observing the mitzvahs that he's supposed to observe. So one who sells his slave to an idol worshipper, yetzei lecherus, that slave, if he can get away from the Gentile master, he becomes a free man. V'tzorach get shichur me'rabo rishon, and he needs a freedom document from his original Jewish owner in order to enable him to marry a Jewish woman. Amar of Shimon Liel Bamed v'murim, when do we require a formal get shichur? Shaloi kosev alov oinoi, if the Jew, when selling him, the slave, to the oivid kechavim, to the Gentile, had not written an ono. If he wrote ono, then that is his freedom. Obviously, everyone's saying, well, what do you mean by ono? Hechidomi ono? The Gemara itself asks, what do you mean by ono? What is that? Omar Avasheshes, because of lay, he wrote the following to the slave that he was now selling to a Gentile. And he wrote to him, Kishetivrach mimenu, when you run away from him, from the idol worshiper, Ein li esek boch. He used that expression, which, as the source said, if you wrote ono, which is Kishetivrach menu, Ein li esek boch, that is his shichur. So we see that Ein li esek boch is an expression of total freedom. And the major halachic ramification of that is this fellow will now be allowed to marry a Jewish woman. We now continue with a topic that for the students of Talmud and Talmud analysis is a very famous topic. On the side, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Hamakadesh Benilva, a woman who owes a man money, a single woman that owes a man money. And the man says to the woman, I am relieving you of your debt in exchange for your agreeing to marry me. So he's marrying her through the cancellation of her debt to him. That's Mekadesh B'milveh. Abaye will teach us at the opening of this piece of Gemara that that's ineffective. The reason for it being ineffective is that marriage generated through giving her something. Let's focus on the example of Mekadesh with Kesef. A loan also is a form of Kesef. It's money owed. However, what the Torah demands is that when you are proposing marriage to the woman, at that moment you must be giving her something that she had not owned, that she was not hers. You're giving her something anew. When you relieve a woman of her debt, of the loan that she owes you, there's an expression, milva lahoitza nitna. Loan money. When you give someone a loan, it's given to the party for in anticipation of his spending it. So as soon as the loan is given to the borrower, it's his to the extent that it's considered already spent. It's not, he doesn't have it anymore because he spent it. So that when you approach a woman and try to marry her through relieving her of the debt she owes you, you're not giving her anything. The original loan, that's already given, that was given to her a while ago and it's already spent. So you might be she might feel good that she now doesn't have to pay the money back, but you aren't giving her something anew at the point that you're proposing marriage to her. The Gemara. Let's open with the Gemara and then make reference to Rashi from time to time. Omar Abaye, Hamekadesh Bemilve Eino Mekudeshes. Behanoas Milve Mekudeshes. The Osulasos came at Neharomas Ribis. 2 points are made here. The first we already explained, Mekadesh Bemilve. The second point, one who's Mekadesh woman with Hanoas Milveh, it's effective, but the rabbis order you don't do this because it appears it has the tinge of ribis. Ribis is interest. Haroma is an expression indicating something that's underhanded. It's not actual ribis. Ribis is the prohibition of taking interest on loans, but it smells, it smacks of ribis. Hai hanoas milva hechi domi. What do you mean? What does it mean when one is mekadesh a woman with hanoas milva? As you can see, we have some markings, and on the side of the more under the mivne, the structural note, the volcano shape or trapezoid, if you prefer. Our shlavim lahasbir hanoas milva. Simply, we have stages till we figure out what that means. The Gemara continues. Hechi, hai hanoas milva hechi domi. This expression of hanoas milva, what is it? E lema de azkifa di omalo arba bechamisha. If we're describing a man who had loaned a woman four. And he loaned her four, if you prefer, we'll say $4, with the arrangement that she will pay him back $5. And now he says to the woman, be mekudeshes to me in exchange for that fifth dollar. In other words, you'll pay me back $4 like I originally loaned you. I know that the original loan was stated with conditions of interest, namely, I'm giving you four and you'll pay me back five. At this point now, I want to marry you, so pay me back just four. And the fifth dollar, that is going to be my kiddushin to you. The Gemara rejects this. First of all, ha ribis ma'ayasahu. First of all, you just described formal ribbis, not ha'aromas ribbis. We saw just a couple lines up that hanoas milve mekudeshes is effective because it's not real ribbis. It has the tinge of interest. But if it's what we just described, the original loan for four with the arrangement or the understanding that she'll pay back five, that's actual interest. That's ribbis ma'al yisa. Why would Abaya call it ha'aromas ribbis when it's actual ribbis? And furthermore, what we described is hainu milve. That's the same thing as mekadesh b'milve. Meaning, if he actually did set up the deal that way, that I'm loaning you four and you'll pay me back, the original conditions were you'll pay me back five. So she owes him five. I know it's usur, it's forbidden, this and that, but she owes him five. And now he's saying, keep one. Pay me back just four. That's the same thing as being mekadesh b'milve, where the man, where the lender says, keep either all, in this case, part of the original loan, the original amount that you're obligated to pay me back. So that can't be the case. Rather, lo tzricha, what Abaye meant in his halacha beis of mekadesh banos milve is the arvuch lo zimna. He extended her loan. Rashi explains. Let's look at Rashi together. Lo tzricha de arvuch lo zman. Rashi that we're looking at is basically across from here. Halva also. He's marvich. Marviach means he's extending the zman of the loan. The omar lo, and he said to her, his kachi, be married unto me b'hanozu, through the pleasure that I am providing you now. She'ad ho'is leisenes pruto le'odam she'efaiseni al-kach. I'm extending the loan. You know, you would have had to hire someone to try to appease me to give you a loan extension. So there's value in my extending of the loan. My extending of the loan to you right now, he says to the woman, is something that you would have had to pay someone in order to convince me to do thusly, only, or even pay me to have the loan extended. Vafinu le'agar notar lo domi klal. This expression agar notar you find throughout the Shas. Agar is schar, notar is waiting. It's an expression that reflects interest, loan interest. What is the connection between agar notar and loan interest? So if you think about it momentarily, when a person extends a loan with terms of interest in it, Why is he expecting to receive more in return? It's a type of payment for his willing to wait till he sees his money again. The Torah prohibits people taking interest. What the Rashi is pointing out here, that we're dealing with the extension of a loan, and the idea of paying someone to convince the lender to extend the loan, that service that you would pay for is not agar notar. It's not a problem of interest. The impiresh lo kach mikudeshes. If a man would say to a woman, I am going to extend the time for you to pay back the loan, and my extending to you the time is something that you would have had to hire someone to pay for, so in exchange for that amount that you would have had to pay for the loan to be extended, I want you to be mikudeshes to me in exchange for my now extending the loan. It will work. That will be that's a legitimate presentation, if you will, of something to the woman by telling her that I'm giving you a loan extension and you now don't have to go pay someone to have me do that, be married in exchange for that. V'haromas ribis hu dahavya v'lo ribis gomor. It smacks of interest. In other words, not only is she going to be paying back the loan, but she's also giving herself, so to speak, to the man, so that the man is getting back more than he gave. So that's what we mean, that it has smacks of interest. But it's not formal ribbis. Why is it not formal ribbis? Here Rashi gives us what the guidelines of formal ribbis are. The lo kutzlo midi, the lo midi shokal mino. 2 points. He didn't establish at the outset, that's what kutz. The katsets is to establish, to delineate, to state the terms of interest at the outset when the loan is initially given. That didn't happen over here. So that's why it's not real interest. And furthermore, he's not receiving anything from her. She's not paying him anything. She's agreeing to marry, but that's not called taking something from her. Rashi adds something that the Gemara didn't mention, but he says v'kol shekein imochal lo kol hamilveh, and all the more so, a marriage could be established if he forgives her the entire loan. However, here's the key point: v'omar lo, and he says to her, iskat shili ba'noas mechilozu. Imagine, in order for the woman to have the loan relieved, she would have had to hire someone to convince the lender, in this case this man, her husband, to forgive the loan. And he's saying to her, in exchange for the benefit that you have in having the loan relieved, I want you to be. I want to marry you. That's effective. Avo ki mekadesh lo beikur hamois. When he says to the woman, the cash that you owe me, you don't have to pay me, but be married to me. Lav mi dioiv lo. That is not effective. He's not giving her anything. So you notice that if you focus, it comes down to one word, one or two words. Hanoas milve, the pleasure that you have in having the loan received, having the loan relieved, that's an effective means of marriage. But saying be married to me in exchange for the release, for the forgiving of the loan, that's not effective. Why? Shekvar heim b'rishusa v'heim shalah, the money that was the loan was already in her possession before he proposed marriage to her, and he in effect isn't giving her anything by simply relieving her of the loan. But when he adds hanoas milveh, that represents the amount she would have had to pay someone now to convince him to relieve her of the loan. That's already tantamount to giving her something right now. We turn back to the Gemara. We have a new marking scheme. We have triangles, and on the side of the Gemara, the under the Nosei / Mivne heading, Deos b'matona amanas lasa. We're going to present two opinions regarding a gift given with a stipulation that it will be returned. It's called amatona, a gift amanas on condition lazir, that you will give it back. This idea of matona amanas lazir has very broad applications. And the Gemara, though it doesn't cover many lines, nevertheless, many different topics will be alluded to here. The Gemara, Omar Rava, Heilich mona amanas shetachzireuli. Take this money on condition that you give it back to me. B'mecher lo kona. In the case of a sale, it's not effective. I want to point out before we go any further that which Rava says now is going to be challenged in a very severe way by actual halachas that Rava himself said elsewhere, that will lead us to Rav Ashi, who basically says the opposite of what we're going to be seeing now. So we continue with the Gemara, but recognizing that we're not saying things that will remain till the end of the Gemara. So in the case of a sale, it would not be effective. If we look in Rashi, b'mecher lo kona, b'mecher kidon karka. For example, a sale of land, the kaimel and the kamon, she nikne b'kesef. We know that land transactions take place through cash. Eino nikne b'kach, delav midi yohivle. If someone approaches a landowner and says, I'm giving you this money for your land on condition that you give me back the money. So Rava says the land is not transferred. It's not transacted. It's ineffective. Be'isha eino mekudeshes. A man gives a woman some cash and says, I'm giving you this money for your marrying me on condition that you give me back the money. So it doesn't work. She's not going to be married. B'pidyon aben ein beno podri. If a man approaches a kohen in the case of redeeming this man's firstborn child, called pidyon aben, if a man approaches a kohen and says, take the money that the Torah dictates, the five pieces of silver that are given in exchange or for the purpose of redeeming a person's firstborn son, and he gives it to the kohen and says, I'm giving you this money on condition that you give it back to me, the child is not considered redeemed. Betruma, if a man who owns a field, who has produce that he tithes, the tithe given to Kohanim is called truma. A man takes the truma tithe. On a rabbinic level, it's 2% of a person's produce. And he takes the 2% of his produce and approaches a kohen and says, here, take this truma on condition that you give it back to me. Well, the Gemara says, Yotza yedei nesina, v'yosir lasos kein, mipnei shenira kekoyin emesayim beveis agronus. So as far as truma is concerned, he has fulfilled his obligation of giving truma, which in effect means that when the Kohen who received the Truma gives it back, the Yisrael, the non-Kohen who originally tithed it, is now the owner of the Truma. After giving it to a Kohen, so he's fulfilled his obligation of tithing, when the Kohen gives it back because that's what was stipulated, so the original Yisrael now owns the Truma. Now, don't make the mistake that he would be entitled to eat it, because that's strictly forbidden. However, what the Yisrael can do now that he wouldn't have been able to do initially is to sell the Truma to another Kohen and receive money for that sale and benefit from the money. Prior to giving the Truma to a Kohen, i.e., at the point of your initial tithing, the Truma that one tithes is not said to be his. It's not, you can't take it and sell it. You have to give it to a Kohen. But what we see here is that the giving of the truma to a kohen with this stipulation on condition that you give it back to me, you have fulfilled your obligation of giving of the truma to the kohen. Once you, when you get it back, as we said, you'd be able to sell it. The Gemara, though, adds, it's forbidden to do this. That means on a rabbinic level, we won't allow your doing this, because it appears, let's make mention of what this is. First, we'll translate. It appears as a kohen who helps out in a granary. The halacha, and Rashi gives you all of the background. If you have a granary, you prepare flour. You have a grinder, and you produce flour in your granary. Or your granary could be also used for threshing the grain, separating the shell, the chaff from the kernel. And a kohen helps you out there. He's called misayeya. He helps you out in your granary. You're not allowed to pay him to give that kohen your truma tithe. Why not? Because it creates the impression that in exchange for his services, you're giving him the truma, and in effect, you're paying him with truma, and you're not allowed to do that. Truma is supposed to be given as a freebie, as a free gift to a kohen. So if you happen to have a kohen that's helping you out in the granary, avoid giving him the truma because of the impression that it creates. It appears that you're paying him with truma. So a kohen who is, let us say, helping you out, who is cooperative with you, you are not to give him truma. So that if you have the a kohen, let us say, agree to this arrangement of him being the receiver of the truma with the condition that he return it, so one is not allowed to do that. Why? Because it appears like the case of Kohen Masabes Agronus. Now, we've given some oral background. Rashi will concretize the information by our studying the Rashi together. Notice at the end of the last of the narrow lines, we also lasos came, lefi shebishar zeh, because in payment for the Kohen cooperating and giving you back the truma, we're afraid Yitain lo shar trumoisov. That will encourage you to give future tithes, future truma tithes, specifically to that kohen who is cooperating with you right now. In other words, as a sign of appreciation for his giving you back the truma now, and eventually you will continue to give him trumos. V'havei hai kohen k'kohena truma b'scharo, and it creates an impression that the kohen is buying those future trumas as payment for his services now that he's cooperating with you, giving you back the truma that you stipulated. Umesayea beves hagronus. It's like the kohen who helps you out in the granary. Why does he help you out? Shiitnu oda truma, that you should give him truma eventually. Utznan bevechoros, in Maseches Bechoros it is taught, kohenim sayem beves hagronus, enislim truma umaisus bischoron. Those kohanim that are serving as helping hands in the granary, you don't give them truma or miser, as you're not allowed to give them truma and miser as their payment. Vim osu kein filo, and if you did so, you have profaned the tithe. Valeim akosav omer, regarding them, the prophet Malachi says, shichaten bris alev, you've destroyed the covenant with Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is the tribe that is to receive tithes, but they're to receive the tithes gratis, not as payment for services or in exchange for things. Let's turn back to the Gemara. My Kosova Rava. Rava, who just taught us a series of points under the heading of Matona Amanas Lahachzir. What's Rava's opinion? We take a look, by the way, in the markings. You see, we have a long question. E kosovar matona masachzir shmo matona. If Rava holds that a gift given with the stipulation of it being returned, is considered a full-fledged giving, a full-fledged gift, afilu kulunami, then all of the above cases should have been effective. Ve'i kosavar lo shmo matana, if you're saying that it's not considered a giving, it's not considered transacted, afilu trumanami lo, then even with regard to truma, where we said that you fulfill your obligation of giving of the truma in this fashion, that should not be. You haven't given the Kohen anything if you're going to say matana amanas nafsi lo shmo matana. So how could Rava rule above that you were yotze yedei nesina, that you fulfilled your requirement of giving? Furthermore, we have another problem. V'yod ha Rava hu diomar matana amanas nafsi shmo matana, but Rava himself has been known to say that a gift given with this stipulation, on condition that you give it back to me, is considered a full-fledged giving. And where do we see Rava saying that? The Omar Rava, Heluch Esrog Zalmanas Shetachzi Reuli. The word Esrog, I'm sure everyone will associate it with the holiday of Sukkot and the Arba Minim, the Lulav and Esrog that is very well known. A part of the laws of Lulav and Esrog, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, the one who is picking up the Lulav and Esrog on Sukkot must be the owner of it. Certainly on the first day of Sukkot, the one who you are not going to fulfill the mitzvah unless you are the owner of it. If you borrow someone's Esrog on the first day of Sukkot and you tell them, "Can I borrow your Esrog for the mitzvah?" you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah. Yet, when it comes to the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog under the Matona Amanas, the Hachzir stipulation, it's effective. It's considered yours. So Rava himself says that a Matona Mas Hachzir is considered a Matona. The Omar Rava, Heilich Esrog Zal Menashet Uzirli, not lo v'chzir yotza, v'im lav lo yotza. If the one who took it with this stipulation in mind and then gave it back, he, the one who received it, fulfills his mitzvah, fulfills his obligation. But why? Because while he was holding it, it was his, even though it was stipulated that he give it back to the original owner. But that's not called a loan. It's not called borrowing. And if he doesn't give it back to the original owner, then you are not going to be yotzei the mitzvah, because by your not giving it back when it was given to you with the stipulation that you do give it back, you're considered a thief. So what is Rava's position regarding matono amanas lachzir? Elo omar ravashi bekulu koni. In fact, in all of the cases mentioned before, we had them underlined, Mecher, Isho, Pidyon HaBen, Truma, in all of those cases, the Matona Amanas L'Achzir is an effective transaction. The one who receives it is considered having truly received it. So in all of them, they're effective means of the Matona Amanas L'Achzir arrangement is an effective means of establishing the transaction, Labar Me'isho, with the exception of marriage. Lefi she'ein isha niknes bechalipin. Chalipin is literally the idea of giving something in exchange for receiving something. In the case of a standard kinyan chalipin, a person who wants to acquire something takes an article of his, and says, "I'm giving you the most common example that people use when describing kinyan chalipin. They talk about a handkerchief. In other words, someone says, I want to buy your car. So he says, take this handkerchief, and by your taking the handkerchief, I get the car. And it's a very common practice. It's actually understood that the one who received the handkerchief, in our example, the original owner of the car, He's going to give back the handkerchief. So the giving of the handkerchief was a type of matona. It was a giving. Al menas lachzir, with the anticipation of him getting it back. That's a general description of a kinyan chalipin. We learned back on Daf Gimel that ein o isha niknes bechalipin. A woman is not acquired through chalipin. And this example of matona amanas lahachzir is very reminiscent of the kinyan chalipin. And because women will not give themselves over in marriage if the means of acquisition is a kinyan chalipin, so too, if you give the woman money amanas lahachzir, it will not be effective. Omar, and Rashi, by the way, points out, Elom Ravashi, Vadai, Rashi's second line from the bottom says, Vadai Bukulu, Omar Rava. Ravashi comes to moderate Rava and says, not like we opened up, which Rava is saying, in all of the cases, they're not, it's not effective, but to the contrary, in all of the cases we listed before, Matona Masahsir is effective. The Kaina, it creates a transaction. Labar Meisha, Vahai Lechalipin Domi, the Matona Amanas Asir is reminiscent of chalipin. Kekinyan sudur de'enu ela oiches bol machziro. In the example we use, the fellow, the original owner of the car, so he receives the handkerchief, he holds it for a moment and gives it back, and through that the car is transacted. But since ein isha niknes bechalipin, likewise a matona amas lahachzir that you give to a woman, since it resembles chalipin, is ineffective. The Gemara elaborated on why Kinyan Chalipin is ineffective by a woman back on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the end of Gimel Amud Aleph, and to the top of Gimel Amud Beis. But for our purposes, it's sufficient that we say that Ein Isha Niknes B'Chalipin, and as a result, Matona Amanas Achzir, which is so similar, it looks like a Kinyan Chalipin, it's not effective in marriage. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rav Huna mar berei de Rav Nechemya le Rav Ashi. Hochi amrinon mishmei de Rava kavosech. So Rav Huna said to Rav Ashi that in fact Rava himself says like you said, that matona al menas lachzir in general is effective. And of course now it becomes clear why Rava said in the case of the Esrog it's an effective means of receiving an esrog in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, even on the first day of Sukkot, when a borrowed esrog would not be sufficient. But amatona amasahachzir is not borrowing. That's considered a formal receipt of the item. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.